and a warm welcome to Celebrating Success. Thank you for joining me. I'm Pauline Barclay, author of 9 published books. My passion is to write about events that happen in life and change everything for those involved, as well as those caught up in the maelstrom. I want my characters to sit at your side, steal your attention, and sweep you up into their story. Stories that will bring tears to your eyes, have you laughing out loud, and sometimes what they share with you will stay in your heart for a very long time. You can read my books in Kindle or paperback, and all are available from Amazon. When not writing, I talk to amazing and fabby peeps. Today, I'm delighted to be talking to Ian Thompson. Ian was born in Blackburn, Lancashire on Halloween in 1949. In a different world where coal was delivered by horse and cart, and like any boy of his age, he wore sleeveless tank tops which were short and shorts which were long. Ian is an international author, and his latest trilogy is set in his childhood town of Blackburn. And whilst the books are fiction, they do include many memoirs of his earlier years. So please sit back and enjoy meeting my wonderful guest. Hi, Ian. It's lovely to see you at last. We've been, email, social media friends for quite a few years now. And I know we're here to talk about your books, and there's quite a lot of books to talk about. But I know particularly today you want to talk about your Blackburn trilogy.
That's right. I recently published the third, which gave me some trouble because there were problems with the time scale. It moves from pretty well the present day back to Victorian times, and it's a kind of reverse whodunit. But I had to sort out the timeline. So I finished in November, and it wasn't until early this year where I got round finally to be content to publish it.
But can I just ask you at this stage, Ian? We call it the Blackburn Trilogy. And there's 3 books in there, The Northern Elements, Northern Flames, and The Spirit of the North. Can you tell us a little bit about where it's set and the time frame with these books as well, please?
Right. I started, I think, in 2017 with The Northern Elements, which begins with a small boy and his gang, and the gang dare him to climb up the inside of a disused factory chimney.
Where is the location of this, Ian?
This is Blackburn in Lancashire, which was my hometown. Right. And the small boy was actually me. I was dared to do this. And at the age of 8, 10, something like that, a dare is a very serious thing.
So what decade are we talking about, Ian?
This would be...
I know in my head where it is, but I want the listener to know as well.
Right, so it's in the 1950s, okay? But the first half of the book alternates between 2 gangs of small boys, the same number in each case, so there are parallels there. One group is in the 1950s, which is effectively the gang I was in, although heavily fictionalised. And the other group is a group of Victorian kids living in real poverty, but in the same part of Blackburn, okay? In the second half of the book, we meet one of the 1950 boys who has now grown up. He's in his 60s, he's retired, and he is what are they called? Silent witness. Help me.
Expert witness? Silent witness? Expert witness?
No, he's a police scientist, a forensic scientist.
Forensic, there we are, we're there.
and he tries to uncover a case of something that happened in his childhood. The gang was out foraging for wood on bonfire night, and Tom is a central character, his dog unearths the skeleton of a child on a demolition site. So the second half of the book is really a whodunit. Tom wants to explore this cold case. And I won't tell you the ending, obviously.
Oh, no, don't.
Northern Flames, the second one, is also set in Blackburn with different boys, although Tom makes an appearance here. And it starts off with a choir trip to Blackpool, and it involves a choir, a gang in the choir, and also the same boys in the Scouts. And there's a lot of autobiographical material there, but what you're about is transmuting it, fictionalizing it, and finding things funny now, which were not at all funny at the time.
But I think what really is interesting about these books, Ian, as you know, I have also read them. Well, I haven't read the third one yet, but I have read the first two. There's a lot of lots of detail in your books that for people around our age group can easily relate to. And there's some wonderful little snippets in, like you say, about the Boy Scouts and the choir. And you portray those as they were in that day as well.
And I try to include quite a lot of behind the scenes stuff. So the two boys at the core of the book may look angelic when they're in the choir stalls, but they're up to mischief for the rest of the time. They get inside the organ loft to have a fag. They play about in the gravestones with fireworks.
Yes, we won't go into all that detail because that's great in the book, that is.
No, quite saucy. I mean the organ, the choir master would have had fits if he'd known what his choir was up to behind the scenes. But one of these, the point of the book is that we focus on a pair of these boys, whose upbringing has been practically the same, and in fact. The local women say either like two peas in a pod, them two, whereas in fact their paths diverge quite dramatically, and one of them turns out to be an arsonist. So there's a tragic element as well as a common comic element too, I hope.
Well, I must admit, Ian, as I said, I have read the first two. And for me, I was brought up in Yorkshire, so I can relate to a lot of the background in the stories as well. And obviously, I'm of an age where I can also relate to some of the things the young boys got up to. There is a lot of story behind what their antics are. And as you quite rightly say, some of it is soft and some of it is tragic. But it's a book I think anybody would love to read because they'll understand what happened in those decades and in that part of the country when people, when children were allowed to freely go out and enjoy themselves playing and getting
Yeah,
up to mischief,
I'm getting a mischief. Yeah,
and
that
which
would
they
be.
certainly did.
Yeah. Modern parents would recoil in horror at some of those exploits, but of course our parents never found out what we were up to, and probably had similar childhoods themselves. Yeah, it's very sad that you don't get people knocking on the door as you did then, saying, "Is your Ian playing out?" I'm lucky actually with my readership because I'm a member of three or four. Groups of Blackburnians of a certain age who had similar childhoods. So I've got a kind of ready-made audience there to whom I'm very grateful. Hello, ready-made audience. Thank you for supporting me.
But I tell you, going back to a little comment you've just made about somebody knocking on the door and saying, "Is your Ian in to play out?" I can also recall a similar thing. I don't know if it happened where you lived in Lancashire, but in Yorkshire, it's quite common for your mother to call you. And the biggest worry was if we came round the corner and one of our playmates said, "You're in trouble. Your mum's been calling you for the last 20 minutes." You knew you were in trouble because you're well and truly out of earshot, up to
Yes,
no good.
that's very, very familiar. I mean, many days you would set off after breakfast with a packet of crisps and some pop, and not reappear until tea time. Food created the boundaries, didn't it?
I
You came
think,
home when
and
you
I
were
think
hungry.
this is what your two, well, your third book, as I've not read it yet, but your first two books, they invoke that period of time. And that's what I really enjoyed about it, because there's a lot of things in there that just brought not only back memories, but how we used to live in those days and very happily and contentedly.
Yeah, irrespective of personal wealth within the family,
Well,
we
there's
weren't.
none in ours, so we didn't have any worries there. There was none.
No, well, we weren't really. We weren't aware of the fact that
Excellent.
that we were poor. It didn't really matter. Perhaps at school later on, but as little uns, no. I do remember the fact that quite often boys and girls would play separately, you know, in the same street, but the girls would be singing skipping rhymes and playing
Yes.
games in a circle, and that they would try to entice the boys in there, and you knew that meant snogging. And at that age, you were rather suspicious of it. Lots of memories in there, and I check on the internet to make sure that they're not false memories. But as I say, on these websites, people chime in and say, "Do you remember this? Do you remember that?" Which is very gratifying.
And of course, you've clearly put those into your books and brought all that alive.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
So tell us a little bit about the third book, Spirit of the North, which is now available, I believe, in Kindle and paperback, like the other two.
Yes, that's right. It's also available in hardback now. All three of them are. That start very often. My books start off with a kind of stimulus, and they sort of grow from that. And the starting point for Spirit of the North was my mother saying that she had seen a red Indian come out of the wardrobe mirror. And I remember saying, "Was it a dream?" And she said, "Oh no, he was real. He was a spirit." And as I say at the beginning of the novel, it's a bit like Jesus and Father Christmas. You sort of believe in it, but have doubts at the same time. So part of me believed this, and part of me thought my mother must be stark staring mad. Anyway, I changed my mother to my grandmother, who was actually Scottish, but as a writer, you can do this, can't you? You can,
You
you're a creator
certainly
of
can, yeah.
worlds. You can mix and match whatever fits the story best. And I remember my Scottish grandma running a séance, which tested my credibility. I must have been about nine, and I couldn't work out whether she was cheating or not. But the Ouija board, the glass was zooming all over the place. And it predicted that I would be a doctor or a policeman, I think. So I thought, I better get
That's
that in.
quite extreme.
Well, what I really wanted to be was a milkman in space. I'm sure there's still a niche for that. Anyway, the novel grew up as being about the other side. And the first of it is about a series of seances, which I remember from my own growing up, one of which I'm ashamed to say was a setup with a friend when I was at university. And it worked so well that a girl who was at the dinner party where we had this séance suddenly started shrieking and asking for a Bible. We'd been too convincing, I'm afraid, although it was all totally a fraud. Anyway, the second half of the novel is set in Victorian times again, when, probably because of high mortality rates, a belief in the other side was very commonplace. And once again, the two stories come together through Tom's forensic dealing with a cold case.
Which goes back to where you were talking about in book two as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Ian, I know these books are available, and you've just now reminded me that they're Kindle, paperback, and hardback. Do you have a website?
I do.
And what is the website address, please?
It is Ian Thompson. Oh dear, dear, oh dear.
Is
Ian
it?
Thompson, author, all one word, at no, www.ianthompsonauthor.com. That's it, out
Dot
loud.
com. Right, we've got that. Lovely. I hope you heard that, listener, and go and have a look on Ian's site. Now, as well as Ian writing this wonderful Blackburn trilogy, which please have a look at it. It's wonderful. It's got some wonderful nostalgic things in there. But we've got a few more minutes left, Ian, and I know you're not proposing to write another one, but you did write those wonderful, humorous books, Lord Lindum. I absolutely love those, and a lot of people did too. They couldn't have been more opposite to the Blackburn trilogy, could they? But they were very tongue-in-cheek and extremely well-written.
Yeah, they were immense fun to write. The first one is called Lord Lindum's Anus Horribilis, because he's misspelled anus. And the other one is Lord Lindum's Anus Mirabilis, Lord Lindum's Wonderful Year. And they started off on Facebook as a little spoof. I pretended that I was a baronet and had a poor, hapless, put-upon valet, butler, called Fiskerton. And all the characters in the book are actually villages in Lincolnshire, where I now live. So Scampton, the malodorous pot boy and boot boy and boy of all work, is actually a village where the RAF were based until recently. But yeah, it began on Facebook, and I would just say things like, Fiskerton, iron my shoelaces, I think I would be take me to the pub. And he is a dreadful monster. He's a bully. He's a drunkard.
And of course, this all goes through the times, which of course was all the lockdowns. And that's what I think really made it very amusing, because this lord knew nothing about the lockdown and expected this, that and the other from the butler.
Well, yes. And there is a hell of a palaver when the vaccinations become available, because he expects the NHS to come to him rather than him to go and be vaccinated elsewhere, which is really rather typical of him. Certainly took my time up in an entertaining way whilst I was locked away. And I think really now that the pandemic is officially over, according to the World Health Organization, I might have played Lord Lindum out. It did occur to me, here's a little tempting idea for you. It did occur to me that as a peer of the realm, he might have turned up for the coronation of King Charles III.
Well, I certainly would like another book of Lord Lindum, Ian. I know there's no pressure, of course. I know I keep nagging at you for one.
Well, we see some mileage in it. I tend to try to get them out around Christmas time, but we'll see. No promises, but for you, Pauline, I'll think about it.
Thank you very much. Because, again, readers, take a look at these Lord Lindum books. They're incredibly amusing, really are. And if you're feeling it down in the doldrums, read Lord Lindum. You won't be for long. I think that's correct, isn't it, Ian?
It is.
Ian, it's been an absolute joy talking to you. And I want you to come back later in the year and tell me what you're going to be doing next and tell me how the Spirit of the North is going. But thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me, Pauline. It's been a pleasure.
Lovely, Ian. Bye for now, and we'll catch up very soon.
Excellent.
Thank you, Ian. It's been great talking to you. And I hope you enjoyed meeting Ian too. Ian's books are certainly worth taking a look at. And you can find out more about Ian on his website, ianthompsonauthor.com. Ian's books are available in Kindle, paperback and hardback from Amazon. As always, a huge thank you for joining me. And I can't wait to share your company again very soon. And of course, you can listen to all my podcasts at paulinebarclay.podbean.com. As with all my podcasts, you are more than welcome to share them with your family and friends. I hope you will. And finally, don't forget you can find out more about me and my books on my website, paulinebarclay.co.uk. Until we meet again, I hope the sun is shining on your face and in your heart. See you soon. Ta-ta for now.